Well, let's go now to that election in Turkey, where President Recep Tayyip Erdogan says the results of yesterday's vote show the Turkish people want stability over unrest and terrorism. His party, the Justice and Development Party, won nearly 50% of the vote, almost double the total of the runner-up. The BBC's Mark Lowen joins us from Ankara. And Mark, this was the second general election in Turkey this year, so what's the significance of Erdogan's victory?
Well, it is a massive surprise, a massive turnaround for Turkey's great political survivor. He lost the majority for the party he founded, the AK Party, back in June for the first time in its history. He's then widely believed to have scuppered coalition talks in order to push for a rerun this time around. It was a big gamble, but it has paid off. Not only have they got a majority, but they got a margin of victory that few had expected. So they are forming a single-party government again, and that will be a personal triumph for Mr. Erdogan. That said, Peter, he didn't get as many MPs as he would have liked. He wanted 330 MPs out of a 550-member parliament in order to change the constitution and boost his own powers. He fell short of that, but despite all of it, he managed to entrench the party's grip on power and his grip over Turkish politics.
And when you do the math there and you count up the seats, what is he realistically able to accomplish? He said that this vote gives him the mandate to push for more presidential powers.
Well, he's probably not going to be able to get those presidential powers, but he has got a strong majority for his party, and he's managed to crush both the far-right nationalist MHP party and the pro-Kurdish party, the HDP, which just squeezed into parliament above the 10% threshold. So he managed to claw back votes from both of those parties because he preached stability and security here after 5 months of violence with the PKK Kurdish militant group, a ceasefire with that group breaking down in July. What can he accomplish? Well, he will continue with pretty much more of the same. His vision of a Turkey that is more conservative, more Islamist-leaning, which refuses to, in his words, kowtow to the West and to the European Union. So I think we're likely to see more of that. The big challenge, the big question is, will he manage to unite the other side of the country behind him, the more secular, more liberal side, which feels deeply ostracized from his government?
Well, and you mentioned the Kurds and the conflict that the government has had with the Kurds. What does the election mean for them?
Well, they are disappointed that they've lost seats this time around. They managed to get over 13% of the vote back in June. They've gone down to 10.7% this time. But they have still managed to get into parliament, and that was hugely important in order to curb Erdogan's powers and to clip his wings. The big concern now is whether or not there will be a return to the peace process with the PKK. Mm. It's a hugely important issue for the stability of the Middle East as a whole.
Well, right. And you mentioned that voters in Turkey were looking for some kind of stability after it appeared the country had been on this downward spiral for months. Yet ahead of this election, there was a crackdown on the media. A representative from the Council of Europe said Erdogan's campaign was unfair. Is there any proof of that?
Well, beginning to get some pretty doubtful verdicts from the observer missions, as you say, Peter. The Council of Europe here, a delegation from the Council of Europe, saying this was a campaign characterized by unfairness and to a serious degree fear. When you live in this country, as I do, I think you begin to realize the absolute dominance of the AK party over parts of the country like the media. Just to give you one statistic here, the state broadcaster TRT released the number of hours it dedicated to the different parties in the run-up to the election. The AK party got 30 hours of live TV time on TRT, the state broadcaster. The pro-Kurdish party, the HDP, got 17 minutes. Mm. That shows you just how muzzled the media is here, how much it is under the control of the government, and that has fed serious concerns among the observer mission and, of course, among the opponents here.
All right, let's take a look across the region and globally. What does this election mean for the instability in the Middle East and that region?
It's sort of a double-edged sword in a sense. To some extent, it brings back political stability because it has been a very unstable 5 months here. And Turks don't like coalition governments. They associate them with coups and financial crises in the past. So there will be an element of embracing stability here, and that's certainly been shown in the markets. The Turkish lira has soared since this result. But there will be serious concerns about the continuing polarization here. A president and a government that doesn't have particularly close relations with the European Union, bridges that have been burnt with the EU and the West in recent months. And all of this is important because Turkey matters. This is a country that is the West's vital ally in the Middle East. It's part of the US-led coalition against Islamic State. It is a big, powerful NATO member. It's a big, powerful Muslim country. Added to that, this is the main transit country for refugees and migrants going through to the European Union, 75% of them passing through Turkey. So the challenge now for the West is to build up a better relationship with Turkey, because really this has shown that President Erdogan is not going anywhere, and like it or lump it, the West has to do business with him.
The BBC's Mark Lowen from Ankara. Thank you very much.
Pleasure.